Max, my friend, we're back again. How are you?
What's going on, Brad? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. We're both coming off of police week. So I took some time this week to kind of catch up on some rest. First time back in a few years, and it is still as exhausting as it ever was.
It's the longest, busiest week of the year.
How about you? How are you? Did you do some recoup after?
Yeah, such a good week back there. I mean, like I said, it was crazy busy and different things, having a family back there but so good. Yeah, I got to come home. We came home on Saturday, so I had all day Sunday just to relax and then kind of catch up on things. So
I saw a completely different side this year. All my years of service at Police Week has been under the Concerned Police Survivors side, support services. And, our shout out to Matt Garcia, who we had on the podcast already. He asked if I would be interested in helping him out. And I love Police Week. So I said yes and went up and served on the memorial side and I spent the large majority of my time at the wall. And I still, every time I go to the wall, I end up in these kind of really amazing conversations, but it was, multiplied by 10 this time because I spent so much time there. And I just am always fascinated to hear people's story. It's such a safe space when you go to the wall during Police Week that people are just unpacking their stories. And it was no different this time. It was just multiplied. And I met some people from the UK and getting their son killed. Met a guy from Delaware. His son had been killed. A spouse. Met a whole bunch of coworkers. It was, it was a great week.
Yeah, that's as soon as I get to DC, as soon as I land, I get to the hotel and check in and then it's down to the wall. I mean, that's like the first thing I do every time when I get to DC and I like to do it later in the day, in the evening when it's dark, just a little bit more. It's not a noisy place anyway, but anyway, maybe a few less people when it's dark and just sit there. And like I said, you'll just start conversations with people and it's before you know it, 2-3 hours has gone by. Yeah.
Well, today's guest, I'm excited to have on. I was really trying to coordinate this to where it was coincided with Mother's Day. We missed it by a little bit, but it's still a mother-son story. And I'm really excited to bring this conversation to, it's a little bit different. It's not as heavy as some of our normal conversations, but no less very passionate. Is that fair?
Yeah, you can see the passion in Stacy for what she's doing and the love that her son Zach has for firefighting and for the stuff that he and his mom are doing together. They're pretty good people.
Well, I certainly won't steal their thunder from the actual conversation, but I think people will find this podcast very intriguing. And you and I actually were talking. I mean, it generated some ideas and some
interesting ideas
for us as well, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Of just, wow, this is, you could go for so many different directions and this is a mother who has, whose son is in the firefighting industry. And then she's found a passion lane accordingly because of this. And I just think it's a neat opportunity to see a different side of our community.
It was good. It was a very good, lighthearted, good conversation.
Of course. So, well, let's dive in it.
Okay.
Stacy Krantz, Zach Aldolfi, welcome to the podcast. And listeners, have fun. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the No One Fights Alone podcast. This podcast is dedicated to mental wellness for first responders and beyond. Through powerful stories, personal experiences, and expert insights, we explore the challenges and triumphs of maintaining resilience in the face of adversity. Together, we remind you, no one fights alone.
Hey, folks. We're back at the No One Fights Alone podcast. It's Max and I. And today, I have guests on here that I absolutely am excited about hearing their story. It's Stacy Krantz with Five Alarm Charm, and we're going to let her have the opportunity to talk about what that is, and her son, Zach Aldolfi, who's a career firefighter, young in his sport, but all the same, his endeavor to be a classy, mustache-wearing firefighter dude. Both of them are from Frederick, Maryland. Stacy and Zach, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the No One Fights Alone podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
To be here.
Well, we're excited to have you guys.
Yeah, for sure. We're super excited to have you guys. So Zach, before we kind of do into the five alarm charm and your mom, tell us a little bit about what you got going on. Where do you work? How long you've been doing what you're doing? Maybe even a little bit about your passion for what drove you into the service of being a firefighter or first responder. Tell us a little bit about you, Zach.
So I'm from Frederick, Maryland. So I originally started my career as volunteering. So I volunteered in Frederick County, joined in 2018. Our high school had a program that allowed you to do an internship. So I, instead of just doing like a regular job outside of high school, I decided to join the fire department, get as many classes under my belt, and learn as much as I possibly could. And then in 2023, I put on applications in everywhere, got hired in Loudoun County, Virginia, and went through the academy there and went out, did my rookie book. I'm stationed in Lovettsville at Station 12 in Loudoun County on the 2nd Battalion. But yeah, so I joined up there and I felt more drawn to helping people. So I didn't really see any other job that would really fit that for me. Firefighting just kind of just clicked really well, and I ran my first call, and after that, I was hooked.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. You run one, and then you're done.
Yeah,
like I gotta have this. That's a dangerous moment there, especially if the call's hot. If it's a hot call, I've had several ride-alongs with me where we got in pursuits, and every one of those guys that got in pursuit with me as a ride-along, they ended up being a trooper.
Yeah,
it was. Pretty ridiculous. But so your passion, I'm glad you brought that up. Your passion being helping people. Where does that come from? Like where does the, you know, this heart of helping and heart of giving back to the community, where what's the origin of that?
I think it really stems from my mom, my dad, and also my grandparents. My grandmother was a head board of FCPS for Frederick County Public Schools, and then my grandfather taught special ed, so it kind of just runs in the family, I guess.
Really? So it's a life of a family life of service then, in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad works construction, and we always try and make sure all of our customers, like, we make sure that everything is the way they want it, how sure. They like it, and try and, like, make sure that everything that we do is spot on. And same thing, my mom making custom pieces for engagement rings and jewelry, something that's very personal and to the customer.
That's a great segue, Zach. You're great at this podcast stuff. So we're going to segue into mom, Stacy. Thank you so much for taking the time and man, what a great kid you got right there. You must be really proud of that.
Yeah. I'm smiling pretty big over here.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. It feels good to see your children find their way. I remember the moment Zach came to me in high school and said, I want to be a fireman. Look, it's making me get choked up.
That's okay. It's appropriate.
And the instant he said it, I was like, there it is. Yeah. There it is.
Did you know? Because did you kind of know that was where he was going?
Instantly. It was instant. It was an instant yes and go for the internship. And, you know, when he was a little boy, we used to go to the beach all the time. And he would not let a single soul pass him on the beach down by the, you know, the ocean breakers, because everyone was Zachary's, right? Like, just people person, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always seen that heart of gold in him. It always is front and center. And I just am so proud of him to make this choice. It was the perfect career for him. So I'm really proud.
I love that. And you certainly are a proud mama. Well, let's turn the conversation a little bit to you. Now, something has stirred up a passion in you, but before we kind of get down that road, give us a little bit of who you are, what you do. As we intro, you're a 26-year plus jewelry designer. Tell us a little bit more about that. Who you are, how you found your passion?
Well, you know, service above self is like in our DNA. Our parents are teachers, and my parents, and I wanted to be a social worker. So I actually have a 3/4 of a master's degree in social work. That was my career, right? Yeah. I ended up serving in the Peace Corps in Africa. And when I was there, I really witnessed the women were very entrepreneurial in my village. And I don't think I knew it then, but sort of planted an entrepreneurship.
Really?
Yeah. So when I got home, I was always a hobby maker. We were raised we learned how to garden and sew and make things. And my parents were teachers, so we had to make do, right? Mm-hmm. I always felt like I could make something better than I could buy it. And that led into a hobby of jewelry making that I, when I was in grad school, I started selling my jewelry at a market in DC instead of being a waitress because I was sick of doing that, but I had to make some money. And I loved it so much that I quit grad school and took that path to entrepreneurship and in art and design. And that was 26 years ago. And I'm a goldsmith. I'm a gem setter. I'm a designer. And now I have a beautiful business here in Frederick. I've got 10 employees. And wow. Really, when Zach graduated from school, I wanted him to have a really awesome Maltese cross as a gift. I wanted to surprise him. And so I made one that was custom with his, you know, his station and everything. And it was just really joy to make. I made it really super cool and big, and it had like letters and everything on the back, and I gave it to him as a gift. And that's really like how it started. You know, we weren't thinking about having a business or anything. And then we realized people really loved them. And then I realized what was in the marketplace. And, you know, I want first responders to be honored for the incredible givers that they are. They deserve to have quality and something. Jewelry is so, you know, personal. It represents our stories. And I really wanted, you know, to combine that. So Zach, you know, I noticed these firemen, they all have these side hustles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, because they only work like 5 days a month. Yeah, so they got to have, you know, something else to do.
So I was like, hey, you know, we were just talking about it 6 months in or so. And so then I just started designing, you know, I started watching and listening and started to come up with some ideas. Now we have, you know, so that's how it started.
Sure. Well, I find, and I would love to hear more about some of the stories behind some of those, because I feel like speaking with that there are some hidden treasure stories behind some of these. Yeah. But Zach, I want to kind of turn it back to you just for a second. This cross, did you know that Mom was making this for you, or was this a surprise?
No, it was a surprise.
Okay, tell us a little bit about. I mean, what did it? When you first saw it, I mean, obviously, you know, your mom's a really great, you know, jewelist. Is that the right word?
A jeweler.
Yeah. Jeweler. Sorry. And I mean, when she presented this to you, walk us through that a little bit. Like what, maybe, yes. What it looked like, what, yeah. Describe it. What was the emotion behind it? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. It's just gold Maltese cross with my county on top and then my recruit class number. And then on the back, I'm not sure if you're able to see it, but. Yeah. Got my initials and then the date I graduated. Definitely some big things on there that really I hold close to me. Especially having a first career job in like a fire department.
Sure.
Definitely was a big goal for me for a couple of years.
Was it? Do you wear that all the time? Do you wear it at work?
Yeah, I don't take it off.
I love that.
So what was some of your thoughts when you opened up and saw it the first time?
I was really surprised, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting it at all. I didn't know what I was opening. I thought she got me a new chain for my cross that she made me. So I thought, because I blow through chains. So I figured it was like a new chain that she got me. But no, when it was the Maltese cross, I was really, like really, really happy, because it looked completely different compared to a lot of the other ones. A lot of ones I've seen they seem to be stamped out. And they're very thin, and this one's got a lot of weight to it. It's big, it's broad, and it really catches your eye.
That's a one of a kind. Nobody's got that one. Just you.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that special? Doesn't that make it really unique that this is just yours?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the bigger things too. It's personalized to me. And that's one of the big things. What we like doing is personalizing it to whoever's gonna have it.
Sure. Stacy, as you're, you know, kind of, there's obviously had to have been some great satisfaction in making this.
Yeah.
And taking your time. I obviously, these aren't cookie cutter. These are hand carved, handcrafted, and you took your time. I'm sure love and prayers of safety and safeguarding probably went into this as you were handcrafting this. But this spawned clearly a growth of or people seeking out, hey, I want something similar or like, and it has opened up, I dare say, floodgates of some people saying, is that the right term? I mean,
yeah, we hope, but
Sure.
We just get started. Yeah.
Well, these, and I've got your Facebook site pulled up and I'm sitting here looking at one and it's absolutely stunning. But as you're having people call, tell us a little bit about that, about some of the whys people are asking for this and that. And I mean, so these, as you described earlier, you know, what people adorn themselves with is very, very personal, very, very intimate. Some of them even tell stories. So if you don't mind, do you have maybe one or two that you would like to tell that are special about that?
Yeah, there's a couple that come to mind that were really, I think, super cool. You know, each one is beautiful because it's a person in there. And we have a lot of different offerings, different types of designs that are within the genre of firefighting or EMS. You know, we even have them for the dispatchers.
Sure.
The two that come to mind, I think, are worth telling was when we were down in North Carolina, we did one of the conventions and we met one of the head fire investigators. And we did a special one for him holding his hands holding a camera that had like all of his symbol and everything on the back of it. So it's like just for him, like, cause he uses one of those 35 millimeter cameras with the lens.
Yeah.
It turned out really cool. You know, so that one was just like really unique. But I think the one that's kind of been the most, you know, just really has struck me is like, you know, when you start out doing these things, you have absolutely no idea where things are going to go. Right. Yeah, you have no clue whether anyone's going to like them or want them or, and it's like, you know, entrepreneurs actually kind of really dig that uncertainty. It's like, you know, it's probably that same impetus that it drives first responders into that kind of field, right? That uncertainty and wanting to meet the moment. And we recently met Sarah Laird, who is she created an organization called Phoenix Advocates. She would be a great person on your podcast, by the way. Phoenix Advocates are two fire widows and a police widow that came together to try to create safer work environments and awareness, but especially support for widowers. And we created their symbol, which is a phoenix rising within a police badge and the Maltese cross. We just replicated their logo and so we're sharing profits down the middle with this particular organization. Like, part of our mission is giving back, right? So that one was just so special because we got to really get to know these three and all they're doing. And it gives them something very beautiful to use as fundraising. But more than that, you know, I've been hand engraving on the back, the names, the numbers on the back of these particular ones. And, you know, when I'm putting their names on there, it's just really emotional. It's just,
jewelry
is always powerful and meaningful, but like the ones for Phoenix Advocates have felt extra special, knowing that they're going to represent people that have, you know, perished in the line of duty is just amazing.
I'm looking at that one right now. That's beautiful.
Yeah, those are cool.
I was looking. I haven't found that one. I was actually looking as we spoke to try to find that one, but I'm looking at the
it's on our Facebook if you scroll a little bit.
I'm on the Facebook. The fire helmet just grabs my eye every time I see it, because I've been on here several times looking at some of your stuff. But the fact that people are giving you that trust to say, hey, this is a piece of my heart, because Max and I know very well working in this feel that people's hurt and pain is very precious to them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not a correct term, but that would be the term I use in this moment. It's very precious to them. So giving that to you and saying, hey, will you do something for us in this? Wow, that's really special. That's really, truly a neat privilege and opportunity.
It's a privilege. Yeah.
Well, this is such great work. It's such a neat, and such a great story, and supporting the first responder community. Do you do any veteran work in that? Have you had any opportunities? Coming. Say that again.
They're coming.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah.
We've been going down the road. I just recently started working on police, police ones. We have a lot of EMS and nurse, and then Zach and I have been working together. You know, police badges are a little more involved. Like, they're very different. Each one of them are very different. They're much, a lot of them have really minutiae detail. So, but then military is like, I mean, I'm open to whatever. I enjoy looking for the patterns and looking for the symbols. Like, when I was designing these, I started to actually research a little bit on eBay, and I started to find all these old school pins and buttons and different things. And I pulled some of the vintage looking ones from that, and I'll keep doing that, you know? But the, you know, the thing that's important is just that they're beautiful. Design matters.
Sure.
Quality matters. And so we feel that they just deserve to have the best.
What was this, what you made for Zach, was this something new, or did you already kind of have, this model of doing the fire industry's badge, crest, cross?
That was just for him as a gift. I mean, and I followed the traditional Maltese cross.
Right.
You know, just honor the symbol. I just wanted to have his detail in there. And I wanted it to be, you know, I mean, look at Zach's mustache. You know, it has to be like, cool.
Yes, cool mustache. I'm anxious to see that in another year. I'm a little baby firefighter mustache get going on there. Stacy, one of the things that I think I'd be curious about is if there's anything unique that you've experienced since you've transitioned into this kind of new phase or different side of being a designer and jeweler. I mean, what is there any kind of aha moments or really impactful things that have happened or you've experienced in going down this different path?
I mean, I think to me, it's really been around the community, who these folks are. I mean, firemen could be it's either they're really stoic, you know, and quiet, or they're like big, huge personalities. There doesn't seem to be any. And, you know, Zach is the first fireman in our family. So just getting to know the culture and the community has been really fun for me, because it's totally different than my typical client.
Right.
And, you know, to me, you know, I think about, as a social worker, I always have thought to myself as police and fire, as social workers, you know, I mean, they're first line in people's worst moment, right? The most crisis. And, you know, and I feel like they're a certain type, you know, part of society that's there to serve, and you know, and you just get this personality that comes along with that, right? And it's been, to me, just absolutely humbling to see the depths of you get them going, talking at the shows and hearing about their stories. They're just amazing people, and they love what they do and their characters, and it's just been such a joy. And then just being able to do something with my son like that, to show him what the entrepreneurial spirit's all about.
Sure.
And meet that. It's really been a real joy. I've, as always, all good things are usually a surprise like that, right? Like, there's, you don't know what it's going to be. So I've really enjoyed, but just serving, just honoring them and their courage and their willingness. And, you know, it's amazing.
Do you worry about it?
Yeah, I totally do. Like, since he was born, really. And he's been moving fast. And
dumb question. Since he was
born. And, you know, but I couldn't imagine him doing anything else. And, you know, I always feel like just that 6 month in recruit school, I was like, wow, he just grew up 10 years in 6 months. Like, he is like, just got it going on with the order and the, you know, and just the maturity. And I just feel like I don't have to worry about him in that way. And then, you know, fate takes its course. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
You would not. That's an interesting statement. You would not be the first person that said that about going into recruit school or academy or their training, that you send them in the timid family member they are, and they come out a bold first responder, a bold cop, deputy trooper, firefighter, paramedic. I mean, and they come out very confident, very, you know, holding themselves in a much different fashion and shoulders back, head up, very, you know, model, and it shows inward and outward. Is that fair that that's what you experienced as well?
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, for him to save money to buy a house or move to his next steps, he's been staying with us still because, you know, he just came out of high school a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so, and I get up really early in the morning and, you know, I'm hearing what his shift has been like and he's, you know, what he's been experiencing. And that has been really eye-opening. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm really proud of who he is. I love that he is always willing to give that eye contact and be so empathetic because he's a natural.
Hmm. Zach, how about you? Let's turn it to you a little bit and talk a little bit about your career. And I think one of the let's go back to the academy. I mean, do you feel that way? Did you went in a certain person and came out a different person?
I definitely felt so. In recruit school, you're held to a standard. All one standard, and that's what I had to meet.
Yeah.
It was either I met the standard and I got through recruit school, or I didn't meet it, and then, you know, you're gone. So I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
Just, I'm only doing this once. I don't want to do the academy again. I'm going to do it once and do it right the first time.
Definitely,
because I do have like learning disabilities, which was another thing that I felt helped me in the academy, was that I forced myself to learn a different way if I couldn't figure it out another way. So always trying to find a solution to the problem on stuff like that. So
wow, what a great testament to endurance and overcoming.
Yeah, definitely changed me a good bit in a good way.
Yeah. Well, Max has had the, you know, obviously, you know this already, Stacy, you may not, you probably do if you've been around our community, but there's an ongoing traditional firefighter cop joke that permeates nationwide wherever you go. Really, it's worldwide, but within our country, it's like two brothers fighting in mostly in a nice way. Max has already taken a shot. I have not taken my shot yet, Zach, but I will self-deprecate first and say, hey, my pile of donuts are over here. But did they teach you how to play ping pong in the academy?
No, not ping pong. In the academy, I kept my mouth shut. I don't want to be the cause of making anyone do any push-ups. I just did what I was told to do.
So Zach, here's why I can, you know, have a few jokes. Is I've been a deputy sheriff for 17 years, but I was also a volunteer firefighter and an advanced EMT in my hometown here for 13 years.
Okay, so nice.
I'm a full-time cop and a part-time hero. So, you know, so I like to jab back and forth.
Well, there is a great love and connection between the law enforcement and firefighter community. I usually strike first and funny. It's kind of a funny story about when I went through hazmat tech. I went through with an entire shift from a fire agency here in Oklahoma. So it was like 36 firefighters and me, one cop. And the jokes were all day long. It didn't matter whether on break or not, they would just scream them out. So I learned really quickly. That was early in my career. I learned really quickly to attack first. So I'm never at a loss for a good firefighter joke, as most firefighters aren't for cops jokes as well. So
My best friend just graduated from Montgomery County Police. So it's ongoing every single day.
Right? It's every day. And it will be that. And it's almost a comfort too, because of, you know, you always call up the cop friend and throw a few jokes out there and hang up on him real quick, you know, I had a fire chief that I used to do that too. And just, you know, I don't want to hear you back. I'm just going to hang up on you and there you go. But it's always a great opportunity to connect within our communities, because we work so closely together. We have sort of very similar, if not same mindsets and focus. We just have different duties. But that's actually wonderful. If I get us back to a kind of a more serious note, your firefighter career, you've been doing it, you know, a couple of years now. Are there things that, like, have you had any like aha moments, like, wow, I didn't see that coming, or that one was harder than I imagined, or maybe easier than I thought it was going to be, to, you know, these pivotal moments of, or calls of sorts that are, or, you know, get kind of messy. Anything like that? Any just like?
Yeah, there was one when I was volunteering where we responded to like a motorcycle accident, and halfway through the scene, while we were securing our patient, another motorcycle came through and hit our rescue engine. So that one was a little messy.
Yeah,
she didn't like that one at all. I didn't tell her.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't want her to know about it. But my best friend's mom is also a volunteer at the station I'm at, so she immediately called, and it was just
we got to put the clamps down on her.
Yeah. And then going into the career side and seeing like the really diving deep into like how we operate,
sure,
definitely very eye opening.
Right.
And then, especially the use of the Reeve sleeves.
Yeah.
Carrying our patients is a lot. You can think someone's very light and then you pick them up and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great. I'm really happy that you're enjoying your career, and I certainly wish you all the best. A safe, long, happy career in firefighterville, and we need more people out here serving both in all of our respective communities. But Stacy, I kind of want to as we kind of get close to wrapping up here a little bit. I just, again, it's as I'm looking at these, it just becomes really, again, there seems to elicit these, as you look, as I look at these, it seems to elicit a lot of emotion. And I'm not saying I'm going to start crying here, but these are really, really precious and some of them individualized too. And I just think, wow, there's a lot of care. And probably a lot of great stories behind the why. And you've already talked about, you know, a couple of the most precious ones. But how do you make these without really just not being, or maybe you are, maybe it's a piece of you that goes into the making of these?
I mean, I think that's the beauty of design is this pattern recognition, you know, like you're seeing the history and the symbols of a, you know, and then design works best when you have less options. So yeah. It's like kind of like being in a box.
Yeah.
So I know these are the symbols, but how can we make it just unique? Like, I don't know if you see the Celtic knot one. That's the most recent one. I'm really excited about that one. There's a lot of Irish folk in the service, and you know, it's the walking down the road and listening and watching that gives you the cues as to what, you know, we didn't realize just how much the wives, the mothers, the children want the symbols, right? So like I have on for me, the one with the heart inside. This is probably our most popular selling charm in my heart, it's called. And, you know, it's, you know, the career impacts the family, you know, and, you know, the whole family's in it, you know, it seems to me, you know, there's the worry and there's the fear. And, you know, I think that's been a surprise and interesting angle has been, you know, symbols and charms for those that love their first responder. And then of course, you know, the guys, they're going to want their different styles and the symbols. So like, to me, a good designer is watching and looking for what are the symbols and what is the patterns and how can I take what's there, what's available, and make it enough? You know, you can't go too far out of the bounds. So it gets kooky. And so you want to, like, how can we just twist it and make it just, because it's traditional, these symbols. But really, that's how it's, you know, come about.
So you've talked a little bit, and I'm going to jump over to the law enforcement side for a second. As I look through a bunch of these things, so I work heavily with families and coworkers of people that have been killed in the line of duty.
Right.
And as I look at these things, I can't help but think like how cool it would be. And that's kind of maybe a two-part question, but how cool it would be to have some things to give. We just had a sergeant that was killed in our area. Well, last year, we just honored him last week in Washington, D.C. at National Police Week. But I mean, I like a necklace, but I mean, I know the ladies really like necklaces and stuff. And I'm thinking something like a, you know, a badge with maybe something personalized on the backside. And so, I mean, are you for my own personal knowledge and our listeners, are you doing stuff? I mean, are you okay to do just a one of a kind for people? I mean, if we were to order one, or somebody wanted one, you know, for to honor their husband or brother or whatever, you know, how does that work? And are you up for doing stuff like that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I do every day here, you know, in my store for my clients. So we have our systems all set up and ready for that. And there's a place on the website where you can just put your name in to do a consult. And, you know, I can talk to anybody about what they want to do. That's no charge for that. But if they want to customize something, there's an additional fee for that because it's made one off, right? So there is a little cost related, but it can be anything then, right? So, you know, people can get very specific about, you know, exactly fitting all the words in and their script. And do we want it to be hand done? Do we want it laser engraved? Do we want it to be in the CAD file itself? And so absolutely, in today's technology, we can really customize really quickly. And we can show renderings beforehand. We can even create little resin models of the design to approve so that we're 100% sure it's just what you want. Because you got to get all those letters and numbers right.
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 We know, check 3 or 4 times before you make. Yeah, that's the beauty of it today. What makes custom jewelry so special is that it's made just for you. And it's honoring your specific story, your specific loved one, your specific, you know, honoring of a loved one that you've lost. So that's, we have all that technology here. So, you know, this is just it's a great, you know, offshoot.
I think that's such a great question, Max. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, on your site. So if people want to find Five Alarm Charm and Stacy and Zach, whether they want to just look at your stuff. And like I said, I've been looking at this for a couple of days now. I started following you a few days ago. So, love this stuff. And for our listeners and stuff, where can they find Five Alarm Charm and talk to Stacy and Zach?
So it's, FiveAlarmCharm.com, spelled out FIVE, is our website. We're also on Instagram. Zach, what's the handle on Instagram? It's at FiveAlarmCharm.
Yes.
And we're on Facebook. And
also, if you look it up on online, it'll bring you right to our Instagram and our Facebook and our actual website. So you have multiple different ways of navigating that way.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we've been out doing the firemen conferences this year. So we just did PA. We're heading to Maryland next. And that's been really fun. I realized what a good salesman Zach.
Well, come on.
It's the mustache.
That's a handsome looking dude right there, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see his girlfriend. So
easy.
They're quite a pair at the booth. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I bet.
Yeah. They're cute. Yeah. And Heather is wonderful too. She's our business manager. She's who you spoke to on the phone, Heather Rademacher. She's who answers the phone and emails. I'm in charge of the designing. Zach's in charge of the lots of other things. And
yeah, Heather was a real treat to talk to on the phone. She was really sweet. So
yeah, she's been a volunteer for years.
This has been a great conversation, and I love what you're doing for this community. I love the fact that you're serving, and it takes all manner of people to fill in the gaps and shore up some of these things that people are passionate about, and certainly filling a need. But that there's a lot of heart in the. I'm still staring at these. I've been on this several times. Actually, Zach, I hadn't been on your website until you just mentioned. I pulled that up as well. But these are absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing with us your passion. And I know the listeners are going to be fascinated as well if this is something that they would be interested in. Zach, thanks for taking the time, man. And buddy, get out there and be safe. Go save some lives.
And good luck in your career.
Thank you.
Stacy, thank you so much. Appreciate you. You guys be safe. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chateau Health and Wellness is a 16-bed treatment facility nestled in the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains in Midway, Utah. Chateau's First Responder Resiliency Program is designed to treat the unique challenges and issues that first responders encounter in the course of their careers. Chateau's comprehensive and highly individualized approach to treatment addresses more than just the presenting issues. It addresses the why. Each of their seasoned, trauma-trained, and culturally competent therapists utilize evidence-based, specialized therapies to treat trauma at its core and enable clients to begin the healing process while developing a resilient and healthy relationship with stress. Chateau Health and Wellness is trusted by departments and agencies from around the country to treat responders and veterans. In fact, it is one of only a handful of facilities nationwide that is vetted and approved to treat members of the Fraternal Order of Police. For more information or to speak to a representative, go to chateaurecovery.com or call 888-507-5031.